This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham in for Cynthia Canty. Detroit is often called the comeback city by politicians and boosters. The central business district is recovering, but many of the neighborhoods are still struggling. There are a lot of empty houses, and if they don't sell, they'll quickly become derelict, blighted, and another problem. A major obstacle to buying a house is getting a traditional mortgage. Anna Clark recently wrote an article for Next City. The title is, "The Threat to Detroit's Rebound Isn't Crime or the Economy, It's the Mortgage Industry. Redlining is alive, well, and dangerous in Detroit." Let's start with a quick definition of redlining. What does that mean today?
Redlining, of course, is a historic term, you know, referring to the period of time, many decades, when there was a literal red line around the maps of many hundreds of American cities where certain loans weren't given to entire classes of people. It was, it effectively set up the architecture of segregation that we still see today. Today, redlining doesn't happen in that explicit of a manner, but it does happen in the fact that there is a disparate impact on certain classes of people. They have less access to mortgages. They have less access to home ownership. They have less access to living in certain desirable zip codes. And as a result, we're seeing a sort of de facto redlining still playing out today.
So why aren't bank loans being made for people who live in these Detroit neighborhoods? They've got a house. They've got fairly good credit. They get an estimate on the house or an assessment, and they go to the bank. What happens?
There is a cascading series of obstacles that anybody who tries to purchase a home in Detroit tends to confront. Sometimes it's debilitating. Last year, there was 3,500 sales of single-family homes. Only 462 of them actually received a mortgage. And one of the most common reasons that these deals are torpedoed is because of bad appraisals. Most appraisers are, you know, hired from a pool. They come into the city. They try to come up with a reasonable estimate for what the fair value of the house is. And they usually do this with, like, comparable sales, like houses that sold recently in the same
three
area.
Three comps in the same area, and you kind of figured this is what it's at.
Right. And which is, in many places, works perfectly well. In Detroit and similar cities, it does not. There are vast swaths of the city where there have literally been no sales in recent years. So what can they pull from, right? There's also, you know, like you just mentioned, there's like a lot of blight, you know, that like, you know, ultimately brings the average sale price artificially low. So ultimately, if appraisers come into the city at all, and I've heard, you know, banks tell me that like some of them just literally will not do that. If an appraiser does come into the city, and there are plenty who will not come into the city at all or into certain neighborhoods, they often come up with an appraised value that does not match that, you know, apparent value of a house, and it ends up collapsing a mortgage deal.
Well, when you're seeing some of these houses auctioned for $500, that can't help the situation in the city. Of the houses bought last year, how many were cash sales and how many were purchased through mortgages? You said 462 out of several thousand?
3,500. And that wasn't,
so
you know,
everything else was just cash?
Almost entirely. More than 80%. Up to almost 87%, actually. Though, to be fair, there is a little bit of, there's a few variations there with like seller finance deals and a few other things that can kind of like mitigate it. But far more than the national average, far more than the metro area, there are cash sales in Detroit. And they're not just for those like $500 houses. Some of them are for very high sale values.
So let's talk about race for a second. How many of these approved loans, mortgages, actually made it to African-American buyers?
Well, some of the data on this is fairly patchy because not everybody identifies in this, you know, their race and their paperwork. But according to Zillow, in 2013, 35% of the mortgage applications were submitted by Black applicants in Detroit, and 25% were submitted by white applicants. So the rest were not clear. According to them, Black applicants were six times more likely to be denied a mortgage due to poor credit than white applicants.
So you talked about one of the neighborhoods in Detroit, Merrigrove, near Merrigrove mm-hmm. College in the northwest part of the city. You say it's at a tipping point. So what do you mean by that?
Sure. There's a lot of neighborhoods like this in Detroit where there are many well-kept, occupied homes. There's still like a strong neighborhood feel, but there is a disturbing amount of vacancy that's beginning to take root. And it's at the point where if there's some intervention, you know, the neighborhood will, you know, make it through. You know, after a few hard years, you know, they'll be able to kind of like come back to, you know, kind of where they were at before.
What kind of intervention could you do?
It's a good question. And a lot of people are trying to figure this out. What's happening in Marygrove is Talmer Bank is working with a Detroit land bank. And what they're doing is they're trying to basically interrupt this process by raising the sale price of homes, you know, in the area. And they're doing this by, you know, in the first phase of the program, they purchased 17 homes. They sold them to people and also provided a $25,000 rehab grant, you know, so with the intention of kind of like stabilizing the neighborhood. In the second phase, you know, which they're doing now, they're doing the rehab work themselves, and then they plan on auctioning it at like a fair value price to kind of get some of those comparable sales on the
comps,
market.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're going to actually still make money or not?
They are not. This is what's really fascinating. Talmer is a for-profit bank, you know, and they have invested $1 million of their own money out of their profit, not because of some judgment against them or anything like that, into these houses with the full expectation that they are going to lose money on this deal. And they're not the only folks doing this. There's some other organizations, usually working through the Detroit Land Bank, that are working in other neighborhoods doing this similar kind of process. And collectively, what they're trying to do is just sort of lose money now with the hope of like raising up this whole Detroit housing market, which is dysfunctional in a systemic perpetuating cycle unless there are people who do intervene on it.
Right. With Detroit Land Bank, I think the FLCIO, Home Depot, Quicken Loans, they're all going in on this and and selling how putting, you know, $64,000 into a house and then selling it for $40,000 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, that's one of the challenges is like, you know, Detroit has famously cheap real estate in many neighborhoods, but the cost of rehabbing them, even small houses, is in the tens of thousands of dollars.
Has this worked anywhere else? Have you seen this in other cities where, you know, these outside investors, we'll say, are trying to save a whole neighborhood housing market or a whole city's housing market by doing something like this, actually trying to stabilize a neighborhood and then hope home values increase?
I haven't seen anything like this, certainly on this scale. I think a lot of eyes are on Detroit because our problems aren't totally unknown to other cities, but it is on a scale that is unknown, and that calls for a response, you know, at the same level. So, like, I think what's happening here is pretty groundbreaking, but it's also very new, and it is a big experiment. I mean, all of us, the banks, the land bank, the citizens, are going to just have to wait and see what happens.
So is everything going smoothly in this attempt?
There are challenges. One of the biggest is that it is difficult to find contractors to do the rehab work on these homes. The pool of people who are skilled in rehab work in Detroit and the surrounding area, they have their hands full. In one couple that I spoke with, you know, for this story, they went through this Marygrove program. One contractor bid on the work for their home. They had never done rehab work before, and it led to delays and challenges and some things that didn't turn out as well as they hoped. I think for these programs to be effective, we are definitely going to also have to like look at finding people who can provide the work, do the hands-on work.
That's Anna Clark. Her article is "The Threat to Detroit's Rebound Isn't Crime or the Economy, It's the Mortgage Industry." You can find that at nextcity.org. Anna, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.